at 7:39 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. Joining us now by phone, as he always does on a Thursday, Mike Wood, the public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department. Hey, Mike, welcome back to the show, sir.
Hey, good morning, and happy Snowball Derby week.
Oh, yes, I know. But you're big. If people don't know this, you're big into racing. You spent, what, $600 or $700 in your life on racing?
Yeah. You pride yourself in being accurate, and you missed the mark that time.
Well, more than. I mean, more than.
Yeah, just a little.
Slightly.
This is why I'm never at home.
Yeah, you know, a lot of you can have a house and a car and a, you know, a fur and vacation, or you can be into racing. You know, probably not both.
Yeah. For anybody that has a boat, this is worse.
Yeah, no kidding. Anyway, sorry, that's just, you know, makes me laugh because you brought up Snowball Derby. Speaking of driving fast, or whatever, red light cameras. Let's talk about this a little bit. Obviously, we've been talking about this a lot this week because the poles are in, the electrical work is in. We're still a ways off from them being fully installed and then obviously being activated. Still looking at January for the activation and February for actual real life dollars tickets, right?
That's what we're looking at. But until it's actually happening, and when it does, we of course will let you know.
but that
is what we're looking at, yes.
One of the just a couple of clarifying questions, just because I know people have these questions and I want to make sure. And I verified with the mayor yesterday, but it still doesn't hurt because not everybody hears everything we do, of course. But any ticket that somebody gets sent in the mail will have gone through the eyeballs of a PPD officer before that happens, right?
Yes. And if we have a moment, I can explain exactly how the system works.
Yes, please.
Okay, so an internal computer uses a proprietary algorithm comparing the speed of oncoming vehicles in the enforcement zone against the time it should take for the light to change red. Now, if the system determines that a vehicle is traveling too fast to stop in time, it takes a high-resolution digital photograph of the vehicle just before the stop bar showing the vehicle's position, the red phase of the light, and the vehicle's license plate. If the vehicle manages to stop before entering the intersection or that stop bar, the event is discarded. If the vehicle does pass illegally into the intersection, the system captures a second digital photograph clearly showing the vehicle passed the stop bar and intruded into the intersection. The picture may be taken either by the same camera from the rear or by a second camera located across the intersection. The latter option allows for the driver identification should that be required. So, and these things, the question was asked, is it video or photo? It's actually both. Video, high-resolution video or any video is taken in frames, usually 24 or 30 or 60 frames per second. So what we can do is we can back that up, use that video, and go frame by frame to make sure we're 100% sure whether this vehicle violated any laws or whether it ran the red light.
Okay, so that answers a lot of the questions. That, first of all, answers the question of how we make sure it happens, that it's essentially anticipating an infraction. If an infraction does not occur, it discards the anticipation. But the video, because you have to have a picture of them not yet across the white line with the red light in order to prove an infraction. Otherwise, they could have entered on yellow, which is legal. So that's interesting. Also interesting because, go ahead.
Yeah, so when the citation arrives, the person will get a series of photographs, not just one. They're going to be able to see that themselves. They'll be able to see exactly what we saw and exactly what a judge will see. So there's no doubt whether that vehicle ran it or not.
And then you also mentioned because there's video, I presume that that would become useful in traffic investigations if there's a collision of some kind?
Well, that's possible. Now, it's not recording all the time. It's just recording
sure.
when a vehicle enters. So, we'll have to wait and see. I don't think that's what the system is for.
I gotcha.
But we'll wait and see how that works out.
Okay. And then you mentioned briefly, but it's worth mentioning again, is people have asked the question, what if somebody's borrowing my car? And your answer is, well, that's what the front-facing photo is for, because if you want to dispute that it was you, you dispute it, and then the evidence will show on the video or on the picture, right?
Absolutely.
And then
we will be able to see the driver.
Okay, but a question I know people will have is, okay, when a cop pulls you over, a cop knows immediately who's driving because they have the person in front of them with the driver's license. What happens when people borrow a car that doesn't belong to them and they get an infraction? How do you resolve that to make sure that the correct person gets the ticket? What's the process? Do we know yet?
Well, Yeah, the two of them will have to appear in court together, and then the judge will make a decision. Will dismiss. I would imagine he would dismiss the charge against the registered owner because the registered owner wasn't driving it, and he could place that charge onto the person that was.
Okay, I mean, you know, simple enough. It's I'm sure inconvenient for people who loan a car, but you know, or have a kid, or you know, whatever. But there's no other way to do it practically. That kind of makes sense. And then these are. What, there's 10 approaches, right? It's all directions at Davis and 9th. It's all directions at, am I doing this right? Yeah, all directions at 9th and Bayou, all directions at 9th and Airport. And then it's east-west at Fairfield and Davis and east-west at, what, Chase and 9th Avenue. Is that right?
You know what? I think that's right. I've got it written down, but it's on my desk, and I'm out here on Palafox in this bicycle lane looking at it right now, and I don't have that answer for sure. So, but once we go online, I'm going to make sure everybody knows exactly what the approaches are and where these cameras are.
What's the just feeling inside the department about this? I know you don't get to make the policy, and you know, feel free to beg off since you're not the chief, but are officers eager to see this implemented? I mean, if you can comment on that.
Yes, but and what we more want to see is the result.
Yeah.
If it gets well known, and you know, even the traffic apps like Waze will eventually catch on to this. They will tell people you're approaching a red light camera. What we want to see is a decrease in crashes and injuries. That's what we're looking forward to. We don't want to see anybody get a ticket. Hopefully, this is going to be a deterrent. And people will learn and not to run lights in intersections. And hopefully that's the ultimate goal, is not to fine people, but it's to be used as a deterrent to keep people from having crashes and getting hurt.
You describe the impossible fantasy, my friend. People in Pensacola driving responsibly. Let's hope for it. But yeah, not having any tickets would be the ideal. Zero tickets would be the goal because people are just driving properly. Hey, one last quick thing. Mike, we're talking to the public information officer for PPD. Mike, one last thing about the red lights is it's not points on your driver's license, though. I'm assuming that's because moving violations to count as points have to be observed the same way that a misdemeanor enforcement has to be observed. Am I in the right vicinity in thinking about this?
That's why I understand.
Okay. Okay. So which is, you know, just as a, you know, how to think about this stuff. You said you were in the bike lanes on Palafox. You know, I have seen some of the pictures. I haven't driven it yet. I want to drive it. But my wife has told me, I've had other people tell me that right now, like the bike lane is wide. The theoretical no-go lane, which was just a white outline until recently and now has some of the white hash marks, is also wide. It looks like a driving lane. And then the one remaining driving lane is there. But you routinely see cars driving in basically all three lanes now, right? That's kind of the problem we're having?
Well, yes. And yesterday they completed those diagonal marks in what I would call now it's a median. So it's very clear now that that is no longer a travel portion. And then when they install the bicycle lane logos in the bicycle lane, it will be very evident what that is. So this is a work in progress. They did a lot yesterday getting those diagonal marks put down. It looks much better this morning than it did this time yesterday. They've also installed reflectors on the roadway. That, too, is clearly shows that where the travel portion is.
Okay, so it's basically a combination of previously inadequate marking, unfamiliarity with a new traffic pattern and people's habits, which should most kind of a couple of different things are going to make that shift. Is that your assessment?
I believe so. And I've been here since 7 o'clock this morning. I have not seen anybody over in the new median area or the bicycle lane so far.
Oh, okay. So people do seem to be getting it. Okay. Interesting. And it's white because it's on the right side of the drivers as opposed to between the lanes of traffic opposing each other, right?
Yes, the yellow is oncoming traffic, so that's why it's white.
Okay, all right. Just out of curiosity, you've been watching all morning. Are you in a marked or an unmarked? Because, you know, people might see your truck and its lights and be like, ah, you know, whereas if you're unmarked.
I'm in an unmarked black Silverado. That's for everybody to know and see. I'm right at Blunt and Palafox.
Oh, and by the way, if you go by, you know, wave at him. Don't honk. But do wave at him.
Use all your fingers.
That's right. That's right. All right. I completely forgot. I'm sorry. We got talking about that. I buried the lead. We had a shooting last night at Pensacola Village. Is that right?
Yeah, that's the bad news. The good news is that nobody was injured, and we may have a suspect on that. We're still looking into that. But yeah, anytime you have a shots fired in a housing area where there's lots of people and lots of children around, it's a very dangerous situation. Unfortunately, nobody was hurt.
You know, so for people who don't know, Pensacola Village is right there at like Fairfield and Davis. That's on the northeast corner behind the Shell station. That's that public housing complex. The mall has now got the church in there, and I think other things are kind of developing in that vicinity. My curiosity, and you may not know the answer, I'm kind of springing the question on you, but has the presence of the church and, you know, kind of, you know, more people congregating in that area, frequenting that area, has it created a change in calls for service in that area, or has it had that you know of any different impact?
No, I'm not aware of any different impact.
Okay. I was being optimistic. I was hoping for a yes, but okay, fair enough. We like to end with a cop myth or a did you know you have one for me this week?
Yeah, so this one is about when and when not to call the police if you're involved in a fender bender. We all know that you call if it's a major crash or there's injuries, but it's not necessary to call the police with very minor damage on your vehicle, and especially in parking lots. We no longer work crashes in parking lots unless it's a commercial vehicle, DUI, maybe a some other situation like a hit and run, people arguing. So what you'll do is if you call the police department, this dispatch, they will let you know about the website, the flhsmv.gov, where you can file that report online. But it's very important to exchange information with the other driver before you do that. So when I say it's not necessary to call the police, please do if you feel uncomfortable, if the other person is argumentative or not willing to give you the information that you need. Give us a call and let the officer come over and stand by while the information is exchanged. Now, he may not make a report, but he or she will stay there long enough to make sure all the necessary information is exchanged.
And it's, by the way, it's Florida Highway Safety Motor Vehicle.gov, FLHSMV. I know the acronym is probably pretty quick to grasp for people, but that's the reporting site for that. I do, you know, it's kind of funny you say that. My wife is notorious for getting bumped in her fender. Like, she's had so many people, and people who had warrants out on them, people who didn't have insurance. Like, she's a magnet for drivers who ought to be removed from the road. It's really weird. So if, you know, sometimes having a cop show up actually helps because you find stuff like that out, right?
Yeah, that's true. So that's the part of the myth that, you know, you always have to call the police. Not necessarily, but I want to reiterate, if you feel uncomfortable in any way, you know, especially if you're a young lady and do not want to get out of the car, please call us. We will be on the way. We will get there, and we will make sure that you get the information that you need to file that report with your insurance company.
And also, just as a like kind of a public service thing, you know, somebody gets an fender bender with you, and they pop out, and they're like, you know, hey, let me just give you $500, or hey, come back to my house. Even worse, come back to my house, and I'll pay you. Dude, call the cops, right? Because, you know, that's almost certainly an uninsured motorist. And also, don't go to somebody's house to get money for them from a crash, right? Right, Mike?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, don't ever do that. Again, call us and let us take care of that for you. No cash on the scene. That's something that could be a huge issue. So we certainly don't want to see that happen.
Very good. Mike Wood, he is the public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department. As always, Mike, thank you for the time and the information. And, you know, hope you enjoy the Derby.
Thank you, and I will. Weather's going to be perfect.
Excellent.